All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Pastor, where we seek to give Bible answers to everyday life questions. Again, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate all of you so much. We take great joy in knowing that our listening audience is growing. So please continue to encourage others to subscribe and please share so that we can build a larger audience, not for our glory, but for the glory of God, since we are seeking to answer questions according to His Word. Our first question for today is this: how do you love a friend that is openly and intentionally sinning while also speaking God's truth to them? Now, that's a very great and practical question. Now, really the question is how do you love someone, or how do you continue to love someone and have a relationship with someone who is literally living in open rebellion against God? Now, you know, probably about a year ago, I preached a sermon here in our church entitled "When the Wine Runs Out," and it was based upon Jesus's, multiplying the wine at the wedding, turning water into wine. Now, the Jewish mind would have understood that this way: wine represents joy. When you read the Old Testament, that is clearly a symbol. Wine was a symbol of joy. So literally what happens when Jesus changes the water into wine there at Cana, it was literally saying that the joy had run out. So here they were celebrating all these things, living life like normal, and all of a sudden the wine ran out, the joy ran out, but Jesus was there. And when the wine ran out, Jesus was there to take care of the situation and to share truth. And so let me apply that to this question. We live in a world today where everybody is seeking joy and happiness in the things of this world: sinful relationships, ungodly habits, and eventually, one day, their wine is going to run out. The joy of this world is going to run out. And it's important that Christians are there when that happens, so they can share with them where true joy comes from in Christ. So I would say to this person, you have friends that are living in sin and disobeying God. Well, you don't have to condone that, but I would encourage you to be there for them so that you can be a light that shines in the midst of darkness, so that you can point them to the living water, so that you can point them to Christ one day when the wine of this world runs out. I personally have friends who are unbelievers. I have friends who are lost, and I continue to cultivate a relationship with them. I don't condone the things they do. I don't participate in the things that they do that are ungodly, but I do seek to build a relationship with them so that one day when the wine of the world runs out, I can point them to the true joy and the person of Jesus Christ. So I would say, you know what? You don't have to condone what they do. You don't have to participate in what they do, but you do want to build a relationship with them so that ultimately you can point them to faith in Christ. And so I hope that answers your question. The next question that I have for us today says this: what happens to people who haven't heard the gospel when they die or when the Lord returns? So great question. You know, this is a question I get asked often. What happens to people when they die who've never heard the gospel? Well, thankfully, I don't have to guess what the answer is, because the Bible tells us what the answer is in Romans chapter 1. I mean, God's very clear about this. Let me go ahead and read it. Let me work through this verse with you. First of all, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Let me read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now listen to what he says: who by their unrighteousness, they suppress the truth. Okay? They suppress the truth. That's key. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, and animals, and creeping things. In other words, they built idols. So the Bible's clear here. The Bible says that he has revealed himself. God has revealed himself to every man through his conscience and through creation. Through conscience and through creation. Therefore, if a person truly seeks the one true God, then God's going to send them a witness to proclaim the gospel to them. So to answer your question, what happens to a person who dies without ever hearing the gospel? Well, sadly, they go to hell. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Some people say, well, that doesn't seem right if they've never heard the gospel, if they've never had a chance. Well, it is right because God said he's made himself known to them. He's put in their conscience, and he's also manifested himself through creation. So God has witnessed to them. God is witnessing to them through conscience and through creation. But the Bible says instead of believing the truth, what do? They suppress the truth. And then they make images of animals and creatures. In other words, they build idols. That's why no matter where you go in the world, you know, if you go to a remote village somewhere and encounter people who have never experienced anyone outside of their community, you're going to find in that remote village, wherever it is, they're going to be worshiping something. They're going to be worshiping a totem pole. They're going to be worshiping a rock. They're going to be worshiping some image that they created for themselves. Why? Because God has put it in their heart that there is a God. He has put it in their conscience. He's witnessed to them through creation. But instead of truly seeking God, they suppress the truth and they choose to create their own gods. Okay? And as a result of that, they're without excuse. If they die without Christ, then they go to an eternal hell. That's the truth. But on the other hand, if they would not suppress the truth, if they would not turn to idolatry, instead, if they would pray to God, the God who's witnessing to their conscience, the God who's witnessing through creation, if they would truly turn to God and seek God, then God would send them a witness. Okay, God did this with the Ethiopian eunuch. He sent Philip. God did this with Lydia. He sent Paul and Silas. So we have examples in Scripture. God did this with Cornelius in the book of Acts. God sent him Peter. So if they would truly seek God, God would send them a witness. The problem is they don't seek God. They suppress the truth, and they make idols for themselves. And so, therefore, when they die, they are without excuse. And without Christ, they will be sent to hell. Okay? Even as hard as that is to accept, God's just and righteous in doing so. And he's not to be questioned for what he does. Why? Because God is good. He's good in all things. He's even good in this. We bow and we worship him, right? So I hope that answers your question. I mean, it's pretty blunt. It was straightforward. It may be hard to swallow, but it is what it is. The last question for today is this. There was a time in my life, the person said, when I was battling with severe anxiety and dealing with thoughts of getting into a car accident just to break from the eternal battle. Even while facing this, I was a Christian. Because it was so miserable, I still have trouble reconciling why I went through what I went through. What are your thoughts on Christians that walk through severe mental illness and other issues? Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to the person for submitting this question, and I do appreciate your transparency and your honesty. Well, first of all, let me just say this. I'm not a medical doctor, as you well know, and so I'm very careful not to speak to issues that I haven't been, you know, medically trained in. I do believe that mental illness is a very real issue. I believe that there's theories of chemicals and chemical imbalances. Well, I believe that it's real. I believe that there are such things as chemical imbalances.
I do believe that mental illness is a very real thing, and it's horrible when people try to deny that reality. I also believe it's possible for Christians themselves to struggle with mental illness, whether it be depression or schizophrenia. I believe it's a real, very real issue. Now, I believe that God's Word, is sufficient to speak to the issue. You know, throughout the Psalms, I mean, if you read the Psalms, you clearly see that even the psalmists themselves battled with depression, fears, doubts, uncertainties. And they were real honest to God about that. They called out to God. They confessed their weaknesses. They complained to the Lord. There's even times when they argued with God. But at the end of the day, they always rested in God's sovereignty. And they always ended with giving God praise. And so I would say to those who are struggling with, you know, anxiety and depression, first of all, be careful, because not all anxiety and depression is the mental illness. I think sometimes we're quick to run to that, and label everything a mental illness. I would say be careful and not do that. Not everything is a mental illness. Some things could just be a sin problem and you need to confess. Other times it may be that you're neglecting your walk with God and you're not spending time with the Lord the way you should. And as a result of that, you're going to feel distant from God, and that's going to cause all types of different emotional experiences. I'd be careful not to label everything a mental illness. I would draw near to God. The Bible says He'll draw near to you. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 to set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In Philippians chapter 4, He tells us to dwell on those things that are worthy of praise, the things that are honorable, the things that are of good repute. He tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible constantly teaches us to set our minds on things above, to look at life from an eternal perspective, and to realize that Christ could return at any moment, and that the present sufferings of this world don't compare to the future glory that awaits every true believer. So don't treat every emotion or season in life, don't diagnose everything as a mental illness. Now, on the other hand, there are people who do have mental illnesses, who are Christians. And I would just say, you know, if it's chronic and a person is contemplating suicide, as, you know, the person, you know, referenced in this, that there was a time in her life where she contemplated, you know, wrecking her car on purpose. I would say, you know what, don't downplay that. And I would encourage you to go get professional help and talk to a Christian counselor, a psychologist, and because we don't want to make light of those issues, okay? You know, suicide's a very real thing, and many people feel hopeless today. And even Christians themselves can lose sight of their hope in Christ and make a rash decision like that, and it has tragic consequences. And so I do think Christians can battle with mental illness, and I pray that the body of Christ will love them, encourage them, and help strengthen them, but also point them to people who are trained in that field to help them get the help that they need.
Thank you for all your questions today. God bless.